Welcome back to the show. Todd Zwillick filling in for John and Celeste today. Well, the Wall Street bank Goldman Sachs has faced intense scrutiny for its alleged involvement in those types of dodgy mortgages and those bad deals that led to the 2008 financial collapse. But this morning we're learning that after an extensive investigation, the Justice Department has announced it will not prosecute Goldman Sachs. The SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, has also ended its investigation of the bank without taking any further action. Joining us now is Benjamin Protes, business reporter with our partner, The New York Times. Also joined by William Cohen, former investment banker and author of Money and Power, How Goldman Sachs Came to Rule the World. Gentlemen, hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Ben, first with you, can you just reset this a bit and remind us what the Justice Department had been investigating in its probe? What were we possibly expecting or thinking Goldman Sachs or Lloyd Blankfein, its CEO, might be guilty of?
Sure. Potentially they'd failed to disclose to investors that the bank was selling these products that were actually toxic, but leading investors to believe that it was just fine, a safe bet, and that Lloyd, when he testified before Congress, maybe misled lawmakers as well.
All right. Well, let's go back to that testimony in front of the Permanent Investigative Subcommittee in the Senate, a hearing that I attended a year and a half or 2 years ago. Here's Senator Carl Levin speaking in an open hearing with Lloyd Blankfein.
To go out and sell these securities to people and then bet against those same securities, it seems to me, is a fundamental conflict of interest and raises a real ethical issue.
Fundamental conflict of interest, maybe ethical issues, maybe Ben Protes, but not illegal.
Right. So it comes down to, did they knowingly, when it comes to criminal, do they knowingly have intent to mislead investors? And ultimately, after, you know, several months of investigating, they just couldn't prove the case.
And what about the SEC side of this? They're not a criminal prosecuting body. That would be a civil action. They dropped their end of these charges as well, or potential charges, I should say.
That's correct. So they were looking at one specific deal based in Fremont, California. DOJ was looking at a slightly wider scope, but same exact conclusion. It looked dodgy. It didn't look right, but at the end of the day, they couldn't actually prove that the bank intentionally withheld material facts from investors.
All right. We're going to talk in a minute, Ben Protes, about whether or not Goldman Sachs is out of the woods yet. But I want to turn to William Cohan. William, are you there?
Yes, I am.
That was good. So what's your reaction to all this? I mean, a lot of people who are hearing this might have the reaction to say, look, 2008, that was 4 years ago. We've heard time and time and time again about the abuse, the greed, the avarice, everything else that led to the financial crisis. Is nobody going to jail for this thing?
Well, that's the way it looks, Todd. There has not been a successful prosecution of anybody from Wall Street. There's only been, as a result of the financial crisis, there's only been two people who were criminally charged. Those were the two Bear Stearns hedge fund managers. In that trial, there was a trial, and they were found not guilty by a jury. There has been some civil prosecutions from the SEC as recently as what it was, I think, last week. A Citi bank mortgage banker was on trial for something similar to what the SEC and Justice Department might have been looking at charging Goldman Sachs with, and he was acquitted as well. So their track record is dismal, to say the least. And as far as Goldman Sachs is concerned, you know, Senator Levin is right. It may be unethical, it may be immoral, but it's not illegal. And that you may not like the way the laws are written, you may not like the fact that Goldman Sachs can short the mortgage market at the same time as it's selling these mortgage securities at 100 cents on the dollar to investors around the world. But unfortunately, that is not illegal. And guess what? After 4 years of investigation, or however long it took them, the Justice Department and the SEC reached the very same conclusion that was there all along.
So, William Cohan, to you then, this is further sort of drilling further down on this, on essentially a study in loopholes that Goldman Sachs and other firms, we don't like what they did. There's a lot of reasons not to like it. Maybe it's unethical, but they didn't do anything that was outside the letter of the law, and that's an issue of Congress and the regulators.
That's right. I mean, Goldman Sachs is way too smart. They know exactly where the lines are. They know exactly how close they can get to the line, and they have very high-priced lawyers that they use assiduously, so they know exactly, and they help write these laws, and they help write these regulations, so it's no surprise they know exactly where they are. So I was always skeptical of these potential charges against Goldman. I mean, yes, they did settle that civil suit in the Abacus case, for $550 million in July of 2010, but you know they did that to make it go away. They didn't do it because they thought they were going to lose. They probably would have won. And in fact, the evidence that I've reviewed shows that they would have won. That there was no legitimacy to the charge that the SEC was bringing. I believe that was sort of political. But nevertheless, if you don't like what they're doing, then you've got to change it at the congressional and at the regulatory level.
Ben Protest, let me turn back to you on the news side of this now. William Cohan did mention that $550 million fine, which you do write about in your story in the New York Times. So Goldman Sachs has paid something civilly so far. They haven't been completely scot-free, but it opens the question of whether they're out of the woods. I mean, is they lawyers sign off, you write your story, and Goldman is breathing easy this morning?
Not quite. I think there are still some questions. We have the FHFA, we have the Federal Housing Finance Authority really looking at them to see, in particular, this Fremont, California deal, to see whether or not this was properly executed, properly disclosed, because these deals were ultimately sold to Fannie and Freddie, who suffered, as we now know, billions and billions of dollars in losses. So I think they're certainly receiving scrutiny from other federal regulators. Certainly criminally out of the woods, civilly it remains to be seen.
How many more facets of this? You have the Fremont deal, which was a package of mortgages in California that kind of led to this whole thing. Is the Fannie and Freddie angle, because they're taxpayer dollars, those are government-sponsored entities, is that an avenue for further investigation, or is this getting ready to wrap up and just become a chapter in history that's completely behind us?
Well, it's not quite behind us, but they are running out of time. There are statute of limitations, but I think also it's important to keep in mind that there were other banks also involved in this. So J.P. Morgan Chase has received a Wells notice from the SEC saying the SEC is considering civil action against them for very similar deals. Wells Fargo the same. So I think that even as we see Goldman starting to get a little breathing, a little easier, you do have the other big banks that will continue to face scrutiny. I think ultimately there are going to be no big criminal cases to come from this crisis. But I think the SEC does note that they've had about 100 cases, some of them very small fry. But you do have some civil cases potentially still coming.
Benjamin Protest, business reporter for our partner, The New York Times, also joined by William Cohan, author of Money and Power, How Goldman Came to Rule the World. Gentlemen, thank you both.